Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hi, I'm Shauna Meyerson with the Yoga of War podcast, here today with visionary creator, or Taicher. If you appreciate and find value in these important discussions, please consider supporting the show so I can continue to bring you such amazing and esteemed guests. Details are pinned in the comments below. This is the third day of Hanukkah, entering into the fourth night. It's the festival of lights, and this moment has been marred by the tragic darkness of the vicious terrorist attack in Bondi Beach on our first night. I know we could all use some light right now. And I know that this conversation with Or will provide just that. The name Or in Hebrew actually means light. And you can say that there are no coincidences. He has shown up at just the right moment with just the right message and just the right soul to lift us all up. Or has a Jewish soul, an Israeli soul, a transcendent soul that speaks to every human in a language that anyone can understand. Yes, it's the language of music, but it's so much more. It's the language of universal understanding that humanity is one entity held together by those who walk in morality, decency, love, and respect. Whether you're a Jew, a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, no matter which God you choose to pray to, I hope you will listen with an open heart to Or's inspiring voice. You could say that Or Taicher is a musician, but he's honestly so much more than that. Or is a creator, filmmaker, creative director, and visionary entrepreneur whose work focuses on using art, music, and storytelling to create a large-scale human connection. He's the founder and artistic creative director of Kululam. The global immersive singing experience has brought hundreds of thousands of people together to sing in harmony. Through his social impact films, national campaigns, and artistic leadership, Or has become a leading voice in shaping creative experiences that inspire empathy, healing, and collective hope around the world. Kululam released their first YouTube video, Or Gadol, in 2007, with a musical production that mesmerized and mystified the world. 2 years later, they smashed the internet with their viral production of Matis Yahu's One Day, sung in harmony in Hebrew, Arabic, and English. A perfect musical depiction of Am Yisrael in one song. I was blessed to be a part of Kululam's singing experience with 20,000 of my closest friends at the APAC Policy Conference in 2019. When I reached out to Or to see if he would join the Yoga of War podcast, we hopped on a Zoom call to simply connect. I had never met him in person and had no idea that there is no such thing as a simple connection with this incredible human being. What started as just a meet and greet metamorphosized very quickly into, well, this podcast episode. The conversation was too profound not to share. And so today I'm going to let you in on our raw, private, candid, and completely unscripted discussion. I hope you're as inspired as I was to listen to Aura's heart speak out loud.
Okay, I'm
Oh
so
my God,
sorry.
where's your hair?
I'm very sorry. Technologic is beyond me. I'm sorry. How are
That's
you?
okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The computer was update himself and took hours, and I can't talk in the phone because I'm on 5% of battery. So it happened in the end. It happened. Sorry. How
That's
are you?
okay. That's okay. Hi, I'm so happy to be talking to you. I
I'm.
so I have like well, it's sort of funny, but because of all the bullshit that's going on in the world, my playlist has gotten very, very small because I can't listen to any of the artists anymore who are all so So I'm running up and down the stairs in Santa Monica, and I have like two or three of your songs, and Inchai came up, and I was just like, oh my God. First of all, I played it on repeat for at least a half of an hour as I ran the stairs, because, you know, in one day, I mean, those two, I mean, slay me every time. I'm like, I cannot listen to this once. I have to listen to it 100 times. But it suddenly struck me. At first, I'm like, wow, why don't I have them come on the podcast to talk about, you know, their project and what it means and what music says about society and the role of prayer? And then I'm like, I have a bigger idea. And so here's what I'm thinking. And I have big ideas.
Just if it's okay, just a few questions, small question before.
Yeah.
You said you're from Santa Monica. It's you mean Santa Monica in LA?
Yes.
And what's the name of your podcast?
The Yoga of War.
The
And
Yoga of War. Nice.
Yoga of War. So I'm a yoga expert, world renowned. And I mean, I've been ostracized from the entire community because of my Israel advocacy. I have no problem with that. I've been an Israel advocate before I was a yoga person 25 years ago. But you know, the whole yoga world is anti-Israel because of this concept of nonviolence, right? And I'm like, okay, let's talk about what happened on 10/7 and also the Bhagavad Gita, which was one of the foundational you know, texts of yoga that says when your family is at risk, exactly the same as it says in the Torah, it is not your choice, but your obligation to defend them. And that's where the Yoga of War started. And my first guest was John Spencer. I don't know if you know who he is. He's the number one urban warfare expert in America at West Point. Netanyahu quotes him almost every single speech because he's like, when it comes to war studies, there's never, ever been a more humane military than Israel. And he just debunks everything. So that's where the Yoga of War has come from. I've had the most amazing, unbelievable roster of guests. If you could name them, and they've probably been on my show.
No, I'm very pr I'm very impressed, because I wasn't exposed to this, and I'm really I'm very impressed.
Well, if you have a minute, I'll show you. It's been way over a year, but I can show you the reel of the first year of who was on the show. And also, can I show you really quickly?
Sure, of course. Whatever you need.
Because I, ooh, hello, hold on. Sorry. I'm not great at technology either. I hate this screen share thing. Hold on one sec. Not Chrome. I'll just do desktop. Okay.
I'm more than a plane. I'm more than some pretty face beside a train, and it's not easy to be me. I wish that I could cry, fall upon my
Some of them were on the show twice, which is why they appeared twice.
By the
So
way, this is
think of all the whoops, sorry, Ken.
you said that like you are doing yoga like 25 years ago. Is it right?
I've been a teacher for 25 years, yeah.
Nice. But like this is your main world, like your main thing, like.
So I've been a full-time teacher for 25 years, and I've taught at over 200 studios around the globe, including a number in Tel Aviv and in Jaffa. But Israel advocacy has always been my second unpaid job. It's been a huge part of my life way before the internet existed. I'm old. And sorry that I'm backlit with the sun. I know this sucks. So when I created this podcast, right, I had the choice to create a new podcast or embed it on my yoga channel, where I knew it was going to lose me tens of thousands of followers, but I also knew it was not the audience that wanted to hear it, but the audience that needed to hear it. So I put it on my yoga channel, where I have now about 60,000 organic subscribers. I've lost so many I can't even count anymore, and I'm cool with it. I have for the last 2 years, I mean, there's no other word. I've not just sacrificed my entire yoga career for this, unpaid, but I have realized that it's not my community who I thought for 25 years was were my
The yoga
people.
community.
Yeah, they're not my people. They don't understand good from evil. They think that anti-Semitism is social justice. They think that terror is resistance. And so yoga is a very small part of my life anymore.
It's feel painful
It's been it.
to know, to think 25 years something, and then to realize that the community that you thought that they are something for you are being something different, like from your expectation. So
In many ways, it's painful because it's disappointing. But or I'm a person who is constantly evaluating and reevaluating my life every minute of every day. I question my own beliefs, and I question, everything. And I, the only thing that has hurt me about this, to tell you the truth, is the disappointment and the fact that I'm not earning any money, and I've been living on savings for 2 years and sending all my money to Israel at the same time. But careers can re be rebuilt anytime. Israel needs to be rebuilt now. So it's not painful in that way. It's sad. It's a disappointment and it's a loss, but it's an awakening of who my people are, who my people aren't.
I have to ask you something.
Yeah.
It's look like you sacrifice so many to be so brave and so fulfilled in your belief to take your fight on Israel. I'm saying fight as a yoga of war. I'm just so curious to know what is the source of this passion? Like, why it's so important for you that you are agree to lose so many, even that you have belief in yourself that will come and but like I'm so curious to know.
Because I think that something that people in Israel don't always understand is that Am Yisrael includes the diaspora, and that even if my body lives in Los Angeles, my soul lives in Israel. Now, if I thought that Israel was committing a genocide, for example, I would not be fighting this fight. The lies, the slander, the fact that I'm a genocidal baby killer because I have a problem with terror, the fact that the double standards and the anti-Semitism that has taken over the world, that I don't want to say that in Israel you are impervious to it, but when you walk down the street and you don't know if your neighbor wants to kill you simply because you're wearing a Magen David, you understand that this is a crisis of civilization, and though I'm fighting for my people are humanity, and I'm fighting for humanity because right now I feel very deeply that humanity is losing.
You know what so surprised me every time again and again that I traveled really like Kululam brought me around the world. Like I traveled almost everywhere. I think that in 2019 until 2020 before COVID hit, I travel in 47 countries around the world in five different I
Continent,
forgot continents.
continent.
And every time, no matter where, I saw so many Jewish people are so like they are putting everything in their life, in their heart, all their passion is about Israel. And every time it was really embarrassed me because I'm from Israel and I don't feel like this. Even more than that, sometimes I'm feeling that I'm taking Israel for granted. And then I understand one thing that I don't live, the fact that I live in this country and so many people are believe that this is their last, like the last safe place in the world. Like this is their, like I think that when you are not living here, you have something to this country that I think that we the people, the Jewish people that living in this land, not understand like what you see from this prospect. So I think it's really like I'm very curious every time to see it.
It's funny. So my sister made Aliyah in 2010, and the way she explained it to me
Where?
once, she's in Tel Aviv, she's on
Hello.
Nordau. The way that she explained it to me once really struck me, and this was way back when. I mean, this was probably 15 years ago she said it, and I think about this every day. She's like, you in Los Angeles have to do the work of speaking up, because you have something you need to say. She says, But the people who live in Israel are doing the work by just living in Israel. They already
Yeah.
made the commitment to being Israel. And so they don't always think that it, so like you're saying, or I use, I think about the words for granted, right? We take something for granted. Now, do you take Israel for granted? I don't.
But
But
by the way, I say it in a good way, yeah? It's like
it's
I'm it's my
normal.
home. It's like my I don't have nothing else. Like,
Exactly. It's normal. But
let's say I
here,
don't have passports to any place in the world, only here.
So here's what I realized probably about 10 years ago, because really, meditating on my yoga, not on anything else, is that in yoga it says that we are given each breath as a gift from God, and we need to use each breath to a higher purpose. And if not, you're taking it for granted. And I'm like, okay, that's a beautiful thought. And then I thought, these words for granted, we take for granted, because what is a grant? A loan is something someone gives to you that you have to give back, right? A grant is something that someone gives to you that you don't have to give back. So when we take our lives and our situations for granted, we're assuming that God gave us a gift that we owe nothing back to the universe for. Now, that being said, I don't take being an American for granted. Believe me, I wake up every day and thank God for, I mean, I could have just as easily been born in deepest, darkest, Sahara, or I could have been born in Gaza. I could have been born anywhere. Like, if you believe in the concept of a soul, I've been blessed. Every time I walk into my home, and like, I'm in Los Angeles, you walk outside, there's homeless people everywhere. I walk in my home, I'm like, oh my God, thank you. I have a home. I have a bed. I have a pillow. I have a blanket. Like, I, no matter how hard things get, I cannot take these simple things for granted. So, one of the least simple things that we all take for granted is our nationality. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, I try
By the
to
way,
live.
I just still curious, did you have thoughts about Aliyah? Like, did you have in the past?
It's all I think about. The problem is, right now, first of all, I have zero income. I mean, really zero income. And it's been.
I think that if you are doing Aliyah, like the states of Israel helping with income, no? On the first.
Yeah, but it's hard because, I have a home, I have a car, and this sounds silly, but my free time right now is measured in minutes, not hours. I have two podcasts, actually. I have this one, and then I have a second one that I do with Andrew Fox. Do you know who Andrew is?
It sounds familiar.
Okay. He's a British military expert. He's the one who literally last December debunked, he went line by line and debunked the Hamas statistics saying that it was all civilians. He's like, well, he went through thousands of people and said, here's an error, here's an error, here's an error. So he's considered to be one of the most influential, like, military figures, again, like, who, he's very objective. He'll call Israel out if he thinks they're doing something wrong, but just
Yeah.
objectively speaking, has landed on defending Israel, and has not Jewish, has been extremely active in fighting anti-Semitism in Britain. So he and I have a weekly podcast called A Paratrooper and a Yogi Walk into a Bar,
Yeah.
where there's no guests really. It's just the two of us talking Israel and anti-Semitism.
Nice. Okay, so your biggest you,
Oh, I
so
didn't
you had
finish the
a
thought.
big yeah, what was it?
So what I was going to say is, between those two and the fact
Ah,
that
yeah, sorry,
I do
I
have
thought
a little bit
yeah.
of yoga business left, and I have to make videos all the time, content, content, content. I have not been able to focus on the massive logistics that would be involved in uprooting my l entire life. I mean, I'm 54, I'm not 20 years old. I have a lot of life here and moving. So I've been coming back a lot. I'm back in December. I want to talk to you about that and my big idea, but it's my dream. I hope I'll be able to make it come true sooner than later.
I hope you will make your dreams, all your dreams come true. And you know what? I hope for you the sum of them you want. because that you have all the time the hungry to dream and to dream and to I think that they have something really really powerful to achieving a dream for, like to be in sometimes in a race for a dream, something in, yeah.
What's your dream?
But my dream
Yeah.
today, or my let's say that my biggest dream or my daily dream.
Give it all.
My daily dream today is to make money when I'm sleeping.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. And my biggest dream is to make a huge influence that will take the society one step forward and to help society to create a new language that bring people together through co-creation, through art. I see how we are trying to be how we are trying to take a stage and to feel alive and to feel that our self I forgot the how to express ourselves is so important to each other. You have two podcasts, for example, and how it's like burn in our guts. And I want to be able to bring something that everyone will feel that they have a place just to burn their desires, but not as an Instagram or as a TikTok.
Yeah.
It is something that really connect us, bring us together in the same platform. Kululami was only a warm up for me. Kululama are going first time in December in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we are launching there. It's going to be residency in Las Vegas. So
What
I'm
do you
going.
mean a residency? Are you going to be at the Wynn or something?
The plan is to be in Caesar,
Oh, wow. Okay.
but we are starting. By the way, sometimes you see my face. I have a 1 year dot. My daughter, she's 1 years old.
Oh.
I'm just looking on her on the
That's
monitor, just
okay.
that you know, because she's sleeping in that like I have a 2 floors house and I'm
Yeah.
so just that you know, because in the camera it's look rude,
It's
but
okay.
yeah, so for me, Kululam, it's only a warm up, like the. I'm still continue to bring platforms that will try to bring people to take one step from the comfort zone and to take out their beliefs out and to be a stronger population.
Well, I mean, to me, it seems like you are well on your way to achieving that dream. I don't know that. I know as a content creator myself that I don't always know how much I affect other people. But especially, I mean, I love the Chai, but you're one day with the three languages and in it. I think that that has
You
done
have one
more.
love in one day.
Yeah, one day. The one day I think is the one that I that had the three, the Muslims and the Jews and the in or the Arabic and the English and the Hebrew.
We have two. We have one
Oh,
day
both. Okay.
and we have one love.
Okay.
They are
Yeah,
both to
no,
bring them.
I know that. Yes, I'm talking about one day, the Monty
Yeah.
Shahu, but I don't think you realize like how much that has impacted the cause of peace across the globe. I mean, you are already making that impact. It's just
I honestly have to say that I know the
good.
impact, especially after 1.5 billion people around the world take down this song to their
Yeah, downloaded
platform.
it. Wow.
After this after this track was choosing to lead the International Radio Day in 2018 and was playing in more than 13,000 radio stations around the world,
Wow.
I understand the impact, but for me it's not enough. And
What comes after Kululum, Kululum?
you know, I didn't create something that will be like nice. So nice. It's like I'm hearing or seeing that, and I'm in, I fulfill inspiration. I want to. No, it's not enough. I wanted to created something that will make people to go out from their houses. To take their butt from their chair, from the sofa, and to go back to the streets. But people was a bit terrified from my dreams, I think. And when it's included so much money, because Kululam earned enough money to calculated 70 employees around the world.
Wow.
So I really believe that Kululam is only the warm up, and I'm what the next things. It's already exist. I just don't know it yet. I didn't got the. I'm just a channel, you know. I'm not creating nothing. I'm just serving people and get messages. And I will continue to be aware, and with enough awareness and enough grounded or with enough being to get these messages. So I don't know yet what is it, but I know it's already here.
Amazing. You know, I set up this call to just talk to you about an idea that I had, but now I'm thinking we could just put this recording right into a podcast. I'm blown away by your answers. I think maybe we should do a longer, more formal podcast. I don't know. It's really up to you. We could just keep
I
talking
don't
about
know.
this. I don't know.
I have to say that my English,
Is
you
terrific.
know, yeah. I'm not. I think that if I wanted to hear a podcast, I want to hear with someone that is more have a fluent
No.
English. But you know that I learned English only from the day that I established Kululam.
Oh,
Like,
really?
yeah, I yeah, you
Wow.
know, yeah, because school, I didn't learn in school,
Oh,
so
okay.
yeah, so
Well, all you have to do is hear my Hebrew to understand that your English is incredible. But everyone always says the same thing, that they feel like their English isn't good enough. And here's what's funny, or in America, because we take English for granted. We're very complacent, and most of us only speak one language fluently, myself included. Because you could travel anyone in the world, anywhere in the world, and just speak English and you'll be fine. So you don't really need to learn extra languages. So in other countries, what you consider to be bad is what we would consider to be fluent. And so your English is incredible, and also you live in Israel, so I don't think that anybody expects like perfect English from somebody.
I have to say that I never had a problem to speak in public.
Yeah.
I spoke in Brazil, I spoke in Singapore, I spoke in Australia, I spoke in so many countries around
Yeah.
the world. I don't have a problem to speak in public because even that I don't know the language, I speaking energy. I
Yeah.
speaking my feelings. I don't speaking words.
Yeah.
So people will always understand me. The only thing that I say that in podcast, you are like listening in like in a radio, and it's like, but I don't know, maybe you are right. But this is only what was my thought.
Yeah, no. Like you're saying, your fluency is in emotion, and the words aren't really that important. And I'm curious, when you say that you get messages from above, do you think that this is more God, more universe? Like, how do you define this? Are you religious in any way? Are you like,
Not at
where
all.
do you think the messages come from?
I do a lectures like I'm talking to students or soldiers or I don't know, everyone around Israel and around the world. And a lot of people ask me about success. And it's funny because I'm not doing nothing for success. I never thought in my ideas to have money or like to I always know that money will come or will I always know that if it's burn inside me. So it's have to be delivered out. And I never do something that it's not necessary in my blood. That is like have to be there out. And I always trying to be in focus. I always trying to be aware. I always trying to be with my awareness. And mostly, I always trying to be. Just
Yeah.
to let it be. To be present. To be here and now. And believe me, this is a huge challenge for an ADHD person. And I think that because I have this huge challenge, because I always affect from everything that happening around my head, like I'm thinking like 14 people in the same time, so many thoughts inside my head. So I have to be with this awareness because opportunity is coming under our nose 42,000 times in a minute.
Yeah.
It's just if you are enough aware to see this opportunity. Most of the time we are putting our time and our awareness on judging ourselves or to be criticized or just to lower our comfortness more and more. But I don't know. I know that when I'm helping myself and remind myself that I have to be up, my soul have to be like from here, like in this moment when when my heart are expand and when I'm breathing like in a in like in a up level. I don't know how to understand that, but in that case my thoughts are more clear. Like it's a thoughts that I can breathe, not the air, but I can breathe my thoughts. So when I'm really when the thoughts that coming to my upper level energy, and I understand that these thoughts have to be in this world, for example, like Kululam or like Zikaron Basalon, if you know what is it, it's in the Holocaust Day, the memory in the living that in Israel we are all coming together in the living room and trying to bring the story of the Holocaust to the other generation. All these ideas are just coming from inspiration, but really high inspiration. I think that Kululam, I saw a video of 100,000 people praying to the Western Wall in Jerusalem in before Kippur. They are praying like Chatanu lefanecha. And I think that that moment like really make me to understand that I'm not, you asked me if I'm a religious, but I saw this huge prayer and I understand that I'm seeing a social prayer because I saw there men, women, old, young, babies, secular, Orthodox. I saw everywhere, everybody there. So I said, and what they are praying? They are praying for a better future. Please forgive me for my sins. I want to pray for a. So I said, oh my God, this is like a great opportunity to bring people together in that musical pref and to open their heart and their mind in the same time in this collective effervescence that's happening here and to help them, to inspire them. To understand that everyone here have the strength and the power to change their realities if they will just choose that. And that what really power me, empower me like to do.
Your ability to articulate yourself in a language that you think you're very weak at is astounding. My heart is beating listening to you. And a couple things that sort of stuck out when you were talking were, in the very beginning, you were saying like, oh, it's like 14 voices coming at once trying to sort things out. But that is like Kululam. That is the harmony. That is taking all the different sounds and all the different octaves and all the different people and all the different voices, and in realizing that when you put it in together, there's a beauty and there's a harmony to it that transcends any single voice or the 14 voices that are even just in your head. In order to write a harmony, in order to create a harmony, you have to understand how voices that are not the same can complement each other. So even as you're talking about,
You know, this point is really important because we are trying to create harmony. And I saw so many people are trying to create harmony. And I felt sad because they try to create harmony from a way to bring a lot of voices, like you said, together. But I understood in Kululam that this is not the method. First, we have to bring harmony in ourself. So the first thing that we are inspired people in Kululam is first, if you want to succeed in this mission of creating harmony together as a group, you have to listen first to yourself and only then to the people that surround you. And the way that we are trying to bring them to listen to themselves, you don't believe, but so easy. I didn't need to bring Einstein to this method. I make them to work really hard, like really hard. We take them to be stand from their places, and they are dancing like it's the end of the world. And then in that moment, we are playing silent, and we ask them to take their right hands and to live on their heart. And now, what you are hearing, you're hearing your personal beating box, boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom. Your special beating box, your special beat box, your heart. I always tell them, like, people are traveling hours across the world to India to do Vipassana for not to speak for 10 days to fill their heart. And here I ask them, when is the last time that you stood with 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people and listening the same time to your heartbeat? And our challenge is to paint them this channel between their heart to their mind, through their head, because all our soul are living between this channel, the beating of the heart to your head, and how we are trying to bring these two together first by listening, and then, if you want to succeed and create harmony in a song together with three voices, you have to listen to your people around you. Because voice number one, voice number two, if you want to succeed to come in the minute of your time of the song, you have to listen. But if you want to succeed in the song, so you first have to be Prepare by yourself. So the art of harmony is first you, the harmony inside you.
Wow, it's amazing to me that you would bring Vipassana into. I've never. Vipassana is, to me, one of the most powerful things you can do in the entire world, quite honestly. I tell everybody that they need to do a full Vipassana retreat, but I've never really thought of the contrast between the power of being alone with yourself. The interesting thing I always say, have you done Vipassana? It sounds like you have. No. Okay. So the
I even
interesting
don't
thing.
understand what is it.
Okay. So the interesting thing about Vipassana, I don't want to get into a big Vipassana lecture right now,
Ah,
but it.
Vipassana, you mean Vipassana. I'm
Oh,
sorry. Yeah.
it's actually Vipassana, but
I
people think it's
in Hebrew
Vipassana.
they say Vipassana. I don't
Yeah.
know. I don't.
Okay.
So yeah, I
So,
know what is it, but
but
I never did it.
okay. So I've never thought about in contrast to let's say Kululam, like just a large singing event. Okay. I'm simplifying what you do, but so when you're in Vipassana, what's so frightening and powerful in ways is you're in a room in my case with 200 people. That's how they do it at the particular Vipassana center that I go to here in Los Angeles. I mean, not in Los Angeles, in California. You're sitting with 200 people, but you're completely alone because you're not allowed to communicate with them, not only by talking, you're not even allowed to look at them because there's a lot of nonverbal communication that goes on in the world, right? So it's this very, it can be very traumatic sense of isolation. But at the same time, it's a connection with yourself that you will never be able to make in any other setting. But I've never thought to contrast the power of silence with the power of shared voices. It's not that I didn't know they were both powerful, but I've never thought of them like on a spectrum. And it's very interesting that you would bring that up because now I'm going to obsess about Vipassana versus, in yoga we have kirtan, right? Which is a call and repeat, basically singing, which I personally do not participate in because it's mostly invocations of Hindu gods, which I don't believe in. I happen to be Jewish. However, even if I'm sitting in it, the energy of just being in the middle of it, because I can listen to a prayer without saying the prayer, right? Because I believe a lot in the power of prayer and it how just that collective song like completely moves you, but it's a part of the same exact practice as the silent meditation. One
You
goes
know,
in, one goes out.
yeah, you know, you remind me. I have a workshop that I'm leading. That all the workshop is about create harmony, but everything in the workshop are in silent. We are singing without to sing one
Bar.
tone. And all these workshops are happening in a room that have no light, in the darkness. And I'm doing it for only like very small groups, but like it's I'm just thought about it now that you said about the Vipassana between the like the singing in Kululam. So yeah. It's something that I'm always searching, like how, in what ways we can bring, you know, I understand from the moment that my daughter was born that one of the One of my missions in what I'm doing is to help people build their confidence. I understand how this bring, like, I really understand how it divide us. Yes, I'm the fact that people are having, some of them having, like, some issues with confidence, their own self-confidence. I feel how it's helping to div for the for to divide us, because you are here, all these crazy things that happening around the world with, I can't say our leaders, but with the leaders, and you understand that it's happening because people are really cannot feel their base under their feet.
Yeah.
So this is one thing that I always thinking how I can bring it. And you know, have to share with you something really interesting. So I don't know why I always, in the last few months, I always hearing in my Spotify a gospel singing. I really think that, like Kululam, it's have like amazing waves of energy that really can heal people and healing their confidence. Like, I think that, like, these voices can raise up people from almost everything. So what I'm trying to do in these days is to understand how I'm taking this effective way of gospel
Yes.
and trying to take it from a different place. Like, they took a gas instead of a fuel, I don't know, like, you know, like a natural gas. Like, I'm trying to understand how we can create this effect, but in less,
Okay, two things. Oh God, I have so many things I want to say. I'm going to make a quick point, and then I want to talk about that. A quick
Yes.
point I want to say about the silence thing. Again, you're blow. I can't believe, honestly, I was just calling you to chat about an idea. This is one of the most mind-blowing conversations I've ever had. The concept of the silence is also, I know you know this, but hopefully other people know this, that what makes music is not just the notes, but the silence between the notes. And so the fact that you've taken the silence and separated it from the notes is such an amazing and powerful concept. Okay, another thing I want to say, look up, you're too young. I'm probably twice your age, but in the
For
90s,
sure, you're not
how old are you?
40.
Okay, I'm not twice your age. I'm 54 though, so I'm considerably older, a generation or whatever. There was a guy in the 90s called Kirk Franklin. Look him up. He did amazing things with making gospel into pop, not really
Please,
pop
please,
music,
please,
but
please send it the name for
Kirk
me in
Franklin.
the Facebook, because
Okay.
I don't have the ability to know how to
Yeah.
write me.
Yeah, no problem. I'm gonna do that
Thank you.
right now.
Wow, I'm
I
really, really curious to see what you are
okay,
saying
I'm
now.
just gonna write the name and that's it. Yeah, so he's Kirk Franklin. I doubt that, or maybe he is, maybe he's still doing it. Now it's just gospel and no longer something, sort of poppy or whatever you want to call it. But okay, so a couple things. I want to go way back in the conversation when you're talking about the kowtow and in the song that was arising of people seeking seeking to be better, seeking to be better humans. And we know that that very often prayers are musical. But do you see your music as a prayer? Because that's how I've always heard it. That's how I
No,
heard
absolutely.
your songs. Yeah.
Absolutely. I w w when I saw so many people in the Kotel in the Western Wall praying, I felt like goosebumping all over my body, but in the same time I felt hangry because I said, what, like, sorry, but what the fuck?
Ah.
Like, what's happening here? Like, this is the people that always fighting between themselves in Israel. It's so like the politics here are like really
Yes.
bad, like in the United States today. And it's like really, really hard. And they said, wait, what? Secular and Orthodox and women and men and like black and white and like everyone there. And then I understand we are all sharing the same thing. We are all want to have a better future to our children, to ourselves. You know, when we are in a moment that we are almost sacrifice our life. Everyone has God in this moment. We are praying, oh no, God. But when we are, you know, like when we are in a place that we are feeling that we are in our comfort zone, so we have so many doubts. And you know, I'm afraid from this comfort zone. I really afraid. I really believe that this comfort zone are bringing all this war between us, are bringing all this powerness, all this money, all this sick to our life. You know, I was in Burning Man 2 months ago. I saw how they are built a city that like attempt you to walk around your comfort zone and understand what it's doing for people. I understand why 80,000 people are going there every year. And I say, God, we don't have to build like a huge city in the middle of the desert of Nevada. We can bring this moment daily. Daily, people think that they are need like to have so much passion and brave to take a one step from their comfort zone. And I said, no, you just need to believe in yourself. Like you need a belief. And you know, in the end, I understand that when we are praying for something better, we are just wait. I'm waiting for future. And the singing, the music are doing it now. Like doing it like because when I'm singing with thousands of people around me, I'm feeling it now. I'm fulfilling so much passion and so much eager to do something, to take a step and to do something. So, you know, one time in an article in a magazine in the United States, the article, the writer, of the magazine, she asked me, "So, what's the plan of Kululam? Are you want to bring a world peace?" And I said, "Oh God, no." Believe me, I want to sleep well at night. No, thank you. But you know, I want that people that singing in Kululam will go chase the beast. I want that people that singing in Kululam will believe in peace, will believe in love, will have the opportunity to feel what is love. I want that people in Kululam for one moment will feel this collective harmony that we are all can bring together. And I believe that if they will feel that, this is what will bring us hope. Because if I can feel it, I can do it. So, you know, for your question, yes, I think that Kululam is all about praying.
I have to be honest, Orr, there's not a lot of people who leave me speechless in this world. I'm known for yada yada yada. I just don't even know like how to respond, because you're speaking on such a soul level, and I'm trying to listen with human ears, and your spirit is so transcendent that when I listen to you, like you say, I'm not hearing your mouth, I'm hearing your heart. And I'm trying to, I'm trying to process, beep into the words that I can possibly add to this conversation. And I do want to say that I do see all, I think I already said it, but all of your songs as prayer. And I also want to say that it hurts my heart so much to see the divisions in the Jewish community, both in Israel and in the diaspora. In a way, it's endemic of society in general. I mean, society in general is polarized, so it's not unique to the Jewish people. It's just existential to the Jewish people. And this is not, again, going back to something I said in the beginning. Even though I live in Los Angeles, I very much consider myself to be a part of Am Yisrael. And I think that we're facing an existential moment right now, wherein we don't have the luxury that the rest of the world has to fight amongst themselves. And that in this moment, when I have dedicated, and I don't mean to make this about me, because it's not about me, but in this moment where I have dedicated my life to my people, it breaks my heart to see that my people aren't dedicating their lives to themselves and their own lives and their own futures. In the beauty of the Jewish nation that the world is failing to understand, and that a lot of Am Yisrael is failing to communicate. I just again, like the magic of what you do is to take these voices, just like the Kotel. When you go to the Kotel, you understand that they're not there, in spite of the fact that they will fight during the day. They're there because they do share a piece of their soul. And when you're at the Kotel, you don't ask like, oh, who's standing next to me? Are they friend or foe? You automatically know. And by the way, not everyone at the Kotel is always going to be Jewish. It's a very powerful spot, and you know that whoever's there is on the same team, and the question is how we take that wall and build it around our nation and then build it around the world, right? Because I'm thinking now, this is crazy, but sometimes I have crazy thoughts of a kingdom that's going to have the inner sanctum that has one wall, and then it's going to have the village that's going to have another wall. And this world is the village, and in Am Yisrael for ourselves is going to be the inner sanctum, and that we need to fortify both. We need to understand like how or the world needs to be willing to embrace us in this broader village, in at the heart of it and at the soul of it, we need to own our own role of being united and being together and praying together, regardless of whether you consider yourself religious or secular or any of the things. It's so irrelevant. It's so irrelevant. But if we're gonna save our nation, and I don't just mean Israel, we need to all like be in this conversation. And I'm gonna say conversation or song, instead of fight, because I hate that we always have to fight. I don't just mean among ourselves, I mean for ourselves. We should not live in a world where Jews always have to fight to be treated with dignity or respect or as equals or be tolerated. I hate that word, tolerance. We are all humanity, and we've been marginalized to a point where we're forced into a corner of like defense. And now I'm completely off topic. My point was, we do need to remember that we are all on the same team, all on the same team. And it's something interesting, 'cause I do like weekly, I have a Torah partner, and we have a weekly conversation, and she said something interesting to me, about Tikkun Olam, which was that in the Torah it actually says that you work in concentric circles, meaning you start with yourself, you go to your home, you go to your neighborhood, and you go to your broader communities. I'm like, yeah, but I'm in Los Angeles. Where's Israel in that? She's like, you still start at home in Los Angeles. You still start in your neighborhood in Brentwood. You still, because it's the ripple in the ocean effect, that if we're all doing this, and if you do it, are you in Tel Aviv?
Yes.
Or okay, if you do it from Tel Aviv, and someone does it from Sydney, and someone does it from Los Angeles, and someone does it from Toronto, these ripples are going to keep going out until they start hitting each other. And that's when it all comes together. Mind, like, I know, works in weird ways sometimes, but boy, I'm curious, like, what do you think a community or a nation or whatever that their music says about their society? Because another thing that strikes me, like when I was listening to Chai on repeat and repeat and repeat, and how every time I listen, it brings me higher and higher and higher. It is such a call for not just peace, but strength of a nation. And I contrast that with what at least I hear. Maybe there's something I'm not hearing, but every,
Shana, do you understand who is singing the song?
Is that the, I know that there are different ones. I know there was one that had like different like had Holocaust survivors and their grandchildren. I know that you've had, is that the one?
Yeah, this is
Yeah.
what you are listening.
Yeah, but
It's
I
a Holocaust
contrast.
survivor and their four generation
Yes.
with
Yes.
them. Yeah.
And I think about that just again, the sound and the vibration and the energy and the uplifting and the power and in the prayer. And then I listen to what I hear representing Gaza, and it's banging on drums and it's screaming and it's shouting and it's angry. And I understand where that comes from for them. But when a society chooses that their songs are going to be about how do we create a better world versus we need to fight, we need to fight. How do you think, like, the music of a nation, because anybody can listen to all the music coming out of Israel, particularly since 10/7, because I guess you could say the rest is just music and who really cares. But to listen to the quote unquote fight songs that all revolve around peace, that all revolve around life, versus what we hear coming out against Israel, what does that say about the society that's creating the music?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Can you ask the question
Yeah.
like
I know that was rambly.
just
Okay.
the question, like the
So, okay. The question, I guess, would be, how does the music that a society creates reflect the values of that society?
I don't think it's about that this is about the music of the society create. I think that is what we are creating together is what is the attention. Everything is in the attention. We can sing a song with a lot of words. You know, on school, I remember that we sing a song about peace every time we had like a active break that we had a song of peace. I was born to peace. I just born to peace that will come. This is what they say in the song. But the first time that I understand what this song that I was hearing about all of my childhood was when I was in the army. And when I got in the ceremony, my wings, they playing this song. And I started to cry because I am a soldier in the IDF, the Army of Israel. And they are playing, I was born to peace. And I'm wearing a soldier uniform. So who I am? A soldier of peace or a soldier of war? But in those moments, I understand that I was born to fight and fight for love. And fight for peace and fight for harmony. And I'm not afraid from the word fight because we have so much evil power around us, and it's okay to say it. So we need to fight back for peace and love. So I don't think it's about what we sing. I think it's about the tension. We can hear a song and repeat so many years that just, ex es escort our years and our nostalgia. But we just need one moment of attention to understand what the message of this piece. And what is say on our life? When we are choosing a song in Kul Olam, we are thinking so hard. What is the story? What is the message of this song? What we are going to inspired with these words? The old people that are going to sing, and what our mission to bring this attention to these words. I can bring so many attention and different attentions for one song. So our duty is to bring the right attention to the right words to create something that will bring all these people to be soldiers of love.
Which is your favorite? If you could pick a favorite song, I'm curious which you think is the most powerful song that you guys have done.
You know, every song like have a legacy of story. Like I can think about one day that like at 12 hours before the event, I didn't have the money for the event. So many stories for every song and for Chai that it was like project to bring, because I brought two of my initiative, the memory, the Zikaron Basalon and the Kul Olam, together in this project. But you know, I think that the one song that like really, really touched my heart, the one that I really felt, not just the creator, but as a participant as well in the same time, it was the most unknown song that we have in our library of songs. It's a Hebrew song that called Me'alai Dmama, behind me is silent. And now we are going again to the silent.
Is
this
that on
song
YouTube?
Yes, of course. I took this song and I decided to bring to all the participants, 4,000 participants, a flashlight.
Okay.
And I asked from Ben, my partner, that is the conductor of the event, not just to teach them this unique song and the new song that we created there, but I asked them to teach them in the same time a choreography with the flashlight. I want to send a light in those days that was really dark days in Israel. The song said, bring me to come, bring me to go, bring me just to play love. Because behind me surrendered a silent. And I think that this song said that we are fill the silent with love when we are playing this love together. No matter who will come, who will go. And I think that this song are actually talking about my personal legacy, that I have to remind myself that what healing me as a post-traumatic with what I'm dealing with in my life, what healing me is love. And I have to surrender my life with love. Because life was tough and life just taught me how to fight and how to put like a very heavy shelf, like a very heavy is I said like
A sheath,
a sheath,
like
like
a
a
something goes around you.
yeah, we could fight
Like a shield.
shield, yeah, like a
I'm like,
very
I don't know what this sign is. Yes. Okay.
Heavy shield.
Yeah.
And but this is our automatic language. This is what our comfort zone tell us. And I believe that like we when we are have the courage to go out from our comfort zone, we just meet love. And that's all. Today I'm 40 and I'm not afraid from love.
Yeah, I think that that comfort zones are very dangerous, and that the only way to grow, I mean, literally, the only way to grow is to get out of your comfort zone and make the uncomfortable comfortable. I'm sorry, was it Me'ele de Mama in Ahuva Huzuri? Is that
Melai,
the
yeah.
Me'ele de Mama
Melai, yeah,
in
of Kudulam.
Ahuva Huzuri?
Yeah, but look, the Kudulam version is really special.
Okay, may I play that?
Sure.
Okay, I pulled it up here. I think I pulled it up. Let me make sure. Is this it right here?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's like it's really I didn't saw this video clip for a while, and to see the moment on their people faces, moment of transformation, like moment of a connection, like a moment of feeling themselves like in a full attention. This is what I'm proud to create, that we bring to millions of people that take a part in our activities around the world, a moment, that moment of to feel alive, to feel in your full colorness, and to feel present here and surround with people that you can trust themselves and your and on your behalf, and to know that with these people we have a future, and we have a hope, more than a hope, that together we can create a better life. And I'm really proud. I'm proud on what we create, and I'm very curious on what we are going to creating in the future. And thank you for this conversation, because I think it was a great reminder for me to know that I'm doing great things, and I need to continue, and I need to believe in what I'm getting, all this energy that I'm getting, and to be a good deliverer, and to bring it to my people. So thank you for that. It was a great reminder.
Yeah, I hope that I mean you reminded me you've but one thing that you a word that you've said so many times in this wow it's been an hour and a half is hope, right? That is Hatikva. You are fulfilling Hatikva. This is the anthem literally of a nation. Is the hope for peace. It is fighting for peace. And thank you for saying that it's okay to say that, because I deep inside, like it hurts me to think about the fight, but the fight is necessary, and it's the intention in there's it's impossible to watch a video like this and not understand where the soul of this song is coming from. So let me just ask you again, like I had no intention of making this into a podcast episode, but let me just ask you how I end every episode, and that is, what do the words Am Yisrael Chai mean to you?
To know and to believe that we are stronger than our history, that we are more than our history, that our history is important, is build us, it's who we are, but to know that our face, our look, our mind is to the future, because history can taught us so much, but the future is where our children are going to live. And I think that we must create a better future to our children, because I'm not sure that in this time we are doing the best work that we can as a human, as a humans and as a humanity. And I believe in us and I believe in humanity. I believe in people that can make this world shine like a star, like a wharf star, our earth, not only as people that live this earth, but how we are treat to the nature, how we are treat ourselves, how we are speaking each other, how we are waiting in a line in the bank, how we are working in the cars, in the roads. Let's breathe more tolerance, tolerance and more, and let's like it's okay to become and like you know to see each other and not only what frightening us, and to remind what makes us love and what makes us to want to be together.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been an amazing conversation, like unexpectedly, unbelievably amazing and inspiring. And I'm going to listen to this over and over because you've given me so many things to think about that I can't even process them all at once. Thank you for being the embodiment of that fight for peace and Am Yisrael Chai.
Am Yisrael Chai. You know, Am Yisrael Chai, and all the world is Chai, and we need to remember how powerful we are, and how we can help inspiring and empower only not only us as a community of Am Yisrael Chai, but we can empower all the entire world. We need to look all around us, not only in our community, but in the world community, because we have the strength, we have the power, and we have the hope to make it. Thank you very much, Anna.
Amen and amen. As they say in English and Hebrew, amen.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity.
Wow. I have to say that when I originally had this conversation with Or, it took my breath away to experience it for the first time. Listening to it again just took my breath away all over again, especially in this moment, in this week, in all that is light and all that is dark, and all that we as a nation and a world are working through and working towards. I think that we can all take Orr's message of light to heart. I hope that this conversation gave you some things to think about and inspired you, as it has me, to go out into the world and to do good things. Am Yisrael Chai. Chag Sameach, for those of you who are celebrating Hanukkah right now, may the light always overcome the darkness. For those of you who will be celebrating Christmas, may it be a blessed Christmas. And for the new year, I just pray for hope. I pray for love. I pray for our dreams. I pray for a better world, a kinder world. And I hope that we can all pray together in harmony. Am Yisrael Chai.
corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.